Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thanks so much for listening to Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF. It's 8 o'clock, and here's your local newscast for Wednesday, May 22nd. On Monday, Delta County Commissioners approved a $15,000 study to be performed by Ken Colm Hydrologic System Analysis that will provide a baseline for the state of groundwater in the North Fork Valley. KVNF's Marty Derlin reports.
Environmental Health Director Ken Nordstrom presented a contract for commissioners to sign, launching the second phase of a groundwater study for the county. The first phase covered the Oak Mesa area, and the second will address the North Fork. Ken Nordstrom.
This is the study that will focus on the upper North Fork River area of Delta County, with a special focus on sustainability and the vulnerability of the groundwater resources. So this phase two study proposes to perform the hydrologic and environmental system analysis of the groundwater systems within the study area. And the study area will be from Hotchkiss to northeast of Paonia and be basically the North Fork River Valley and the terraces surrounding it. So the study will produce a GIS database and maps of the hydrologic and hydrogeologic characteristics of the groundwater systems, and the maps and the supporting reports are used to support our planning and our zoning and other decision-making tasks of the county staff in protecting our groundwater resources for public and private drinking water supplies.
The GIS information will be used by the county's planning department, health department, the commissioners themselves, and the planning commission.
You know, whenever a subdivision, a gravel pit, whatever development comes along, it seems to me like one of the main questions that our planning commission and that the agencies get are, what's going to happen to my groundwater? What's going to happen to our water? How is that going to be protected? How is this going to affect those hydrologic systems within an area? So this provides a scientific basic approach to understand, where does that groundwater come from? How vulnerable is it? And so then we can take that development, whatever it is, and relate it to the study and provide some answers to people that we didn't have before, a good study and understanding of the systems within Delta County.
For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
A group of scientists is flying over mountains in California and Colorado this spring, measuring snowpack with high-tech gadgets. NASA's Airborne Snow Observatory mission started last month over the Sierra Nevadas and southwestern Colorado's Uncompahgre River Basin. The idea is to measure the snow in a way that's never been done before, to get an idea of how much water is stored there. Snowpack accounts for 75% of the western United States' freshwater supply. And as demands for water grow, scientists are working on solutions. Aspen Public Radio's Marcy Krivenin spoke with Tom Painter, the mission's principal investigator. She began by asking him about the reason for the project.
The motivation for this is that mountain systems are pretty poorly known around the world, and even in the western U.S., which is the envy of the world in terms of its data infrastructure that lets us know our mountain snowpack well, we still have very few data about what's going on in the snowpack and what's actually contributing to snowmelt and how fast that's contributing to changes in runoff. So we needed to go after the reflectivity of the snow surface as well as the snow water equivalent. And so we've taken some high-tech technology, an imaging spectrometer, which measures reflected sunlight from the snow surface in about 100 different colors. And then we also have what's called a scanning LIDAR, which is a high precision and very frequent laser pointer that measures how long it takes for a pulse of light to be returned to the airplane, and that gives you a very precise measurement of the snow depth. So it's a dramatic jump in the data knowledge, so the snowpack knowledge.
And, you know, why does it matter how much water is in the snowpack? Why measure this so thoroughly?
The snowpack is the lifeblood of human civilization in the Western U.S. For the most part, in the West, we live in a desert, and so we have to rely on those remote snowpacks to give us our resource. In the Western U.S., though, we have had the luxury of a greater supply than a demand of water over the last century. In the last decade or so, for instance, on the Colorado River, the demand of water has finally exceeded the supply of water. And so we need to know that resource incredibly well and not be wasteful. And we need to be efficient with its use and its management. And so migrating to a system where we can comprehensively know that mountain snowpack is going to allow us to understand the effects of climate change, adapt, and then ultimately be able to make that best use of that water resource.
When you said that the mission fills a critical need in an increasingly thirsty world, I mean, that's a pretty big responsibility for this mission.
It is, and as such, we're not going to just focus on the Tuolumne and the Uncompahgre basins from here on out. We recognize that we need to get the technology to where we can fly the entire Sierra Nevada and fly the entire Upper Colorado in a timely fashion, and likewise work to develop the airborne and spaceborne versions of this that will allow us to know it at a global basis. It's not just in the Western U.S. that snowmelt is critical. In Asia, coming out of the Hindu Kush through the Himalaya, arguably 1.5 billion people depend on snowmelt primarily from those basins. And with a transformation in the timing of that runoff, and also changes in total runoff with climate change, not to mention the growing population in those regions, it will become a critical intersection in a geopolitical standpoint as well. And so we're working hard not just for the national needs, the regional needs, the national needs, but as well as the international needs.
Okay, Tom, thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
As reported in the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, counties and towns near the world's richest deposits of oil shale need more time to evaluate proposed changes to oil shale regulations, according to the Associated Governments of Northwest Colorado. The organization, which represents Delta, Garfield, Mesa, Moffitt, Montrose, and Rout counties, has asked the Bureau of Land Management to extend by 60 days the public comment period on the proposed regulations. The comment period is now set to expire on May 28th. The Obama administration is proposing changing the royalty rate for oil shale set by the previous administration. The Obama rule would toss out the previous regulations in favor of other options, possibly including tying the royalty rate to the price of oil, setting royalty rates at the time oil shale leases are offered, modeling royalties after coal leasing, or establishing a minimum royalty of 12.5% and giving the Interior Department the latitude to increase it. Last week, the Paonia-based Citizens for a Healthy Community, along with nearly 30 other organizations, wrote to the Bureau of Land Management requesting that the agency comply with a recent legal ruling and release the names of all lease parcel nominators to the public. KVNF's Marty Derlin has more.
In February, Federal Judge Richard Mache ruled in favor of CHC and the Western Environmental Law Center in their Freedom of Information suit against the BLM. The judge said the agency must release the names of those who nominate parcels for lease in order to drill for oil and gas on public lands. CHC's Jim Ramey explains what happened next.
So the BLM complied with his ruling in our case, released information to us who the nominators were of the North Fork parcels that were put up for lease. But they've continued to withhold this information when requested from other groups or journalists. And so we've joined with this coalition of groups to say, hey, BLM, follow the law, adjust your policy, and provide this information to the public.
So far, the organizations have not initiated any further legal action against the BLM, but another legal issue remains unresolved.
We have a pending FOIA request with the BLM for about a 2,000-acre parcel north of the town of Delta, and there are a couple other groups and journalists out there who have filed FOIA requests with BLM to which BLM has not provided the information.
As for reforms in public land policy within BLM and the Department of Interior, Ramey acknowledges that some progress was made under Secretary Ken Salazar.
The leasing reforms that Secretary Salazar instituted, I believe they were in 2010, they brought more public process to BLM's oil and gas lease sale, which is a really good thing. And so that's a great step in the right direction. But some of the other reforms, to my knowledge, haven't been fully instituted here in Colorado, which has some of the oldest land use plans across the West, which we know all too well. And to base decisions on how we should be using public lands on poor analysis that was done in the early and mid-1980s, that's not a good idea. So I hope that we continue to see from the BLM more transparency, increased public participation. Those are good things when we're talking about the management of the public's lands.
For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
KVNF contacted BLM for comment and received this statement from Vanessa Lacayo. Quote, the BLM has implemented the judge's order to release the information requested by Citizens for a Healthy Community. We are currently processing requests for information through the Freedom of Information Act and determining what changes, if any, the BLM should make to existing policy. The BLM's policy is to release EOI information on sold parcels 2 days after a lease sale. End quote. And finally today, the Colorado Department of Transportation announced on Monday that Highway 82 over Independence Pass will open as scheduled at 2 p.m. Thursday. That's tomorrow. The Aspen Times reports that a maintenance crew started removing snow east of the winter closure gate during the last week of April. The crew was using a giant snowblower last week to work through a 4 to 5 foot wall of snow to the remaining 2 miles to the summit. A separate crew was working on the east side of the pass from Twin Lakes. CDOT sets an annual goal of opening the road over the 12,095-foot pass on the Thursday before Memorial Day weekend. The current snowpack levels are 63% of average on the Aspen side of the pass and just 31% of average on the Twin Lakes side, according to CDOT. The pass opened 2 weeks early in 2012 because conditions were so dry during the spring. Crews managed to open the pass on the scheduled date in May 2011, even though the snowpack was 361% of average on the west side, and snowbanks as high as 20 feet lined the road near the summit. And that concludes your local newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF Mountain Grown Community Radio, my name is Eric Gould. Have a great hump day, everybody, and thanks so much for listening.